Upshot not available in California, North Carolina, or from all agents.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Come on in, sit right down. Keep your hands up, keep your chin down. Shut the door, time to go with Randy Harrison. Knockout Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, Knockout Radio with Randy Harris is about to start. So get ready for the best MMA talk, games, interviews, prizes, and surprises anywhere for Knockout Radio. I'm the voice, Ray Flores, and now here's Knockout Radio.
Hey, hey everybody.
What is going on, everybody? Coming to you live from Radio Row here, Super Bowl 53. Let me run down the lineup. Champ, Ryan Bader coming up at the bottom of the hour. Israel Del Toro will be on towards the top of the hour. Kevin Carter stopping by. Mark Pollock stopping by. Diamond Dallas Page starting by. But there is only one way that I feel proper to start a Super Bowl radio show, and that is with not only a Super Bowl champion, not only a Hall of Famer, but the greatest Tampa Bay Buccaneer of all time, number 99.
Oh, that's your opinion, right?
It is my opinion.
Good. We'll leave it at that.
That is my opinion.
Yeah, we'll leave it at that, baby. We'll leave it at that. Because, you know, as long as I'm in the discussion, that's all I say. As long as I'm in the discussion, you ain't throwing, you know, Todd Yoder in there. I love Todd
Yoder. You know, and I kind of want to ask you, you know, something. And first and foremost, you know that whatever I say in front of you is what I say behind your back, and vice versa.
That's why we talk sports. We win.
That's why I wanted to start the show with this. Tell me, you know, when fans, and they run down, I want your opinion, when they run down the greatest Buccaneers of all time, and you're not one, you're two or you're three. I've always said, I'm okay if another gold jacket is in front of you.
That's the only two that can happen.
And that's my thing.
Unless it's Doug Williams. If you go back to Doug Williams, I'll give you the original buck that drove us to a 1979 championship game. And if it wasn't wet that day, the Rams thinking that.
I'm still going to say no. I'm still going to say a gold jacket. Doug, maybe four. But a gold jacket?
No, I give Doug that a buck. Okay. I was a kid in Orlando watching Doug Williams. You know, it wasn't many black quarterbacks.
Right.
You talk about the 70s.
Oh, no, I was.
Yeah. That's what I'm telling you. So, but that magnifies. And we share January 26th with Doug. We won the Super Bowl. We won our
that's
Super Bowl.
True.
So that's that synergy. I got you. That's the synergy.
I jumped ahead of myself. I wanted to start with something else. And we talked about this yesterday. And when I've seen you over the past couple of years, it's a great time for 15 or 20 minutes. And then I would suffer for a week or two because burned in my memory is watching you walk in and watching you walk out. I cried watching you try to walk. Yesterday was a happy day for me.
Hey, the last 37, 38 days have been because you and Kat made me realize that there's people looking at me going, my God. I thought it was all good. I thought it was all right. 39, it wasn't all good. It was nasty. It was ugly. I'm so happy y'all let me know. I mean, people around me that love me, let me know, right. Like, son, you got to do something about this. And I can't wait to show Cam. Yeah. I can't wait to walk up on Cam.
When I saw a photo, you had a cane. I'm like, all right, maybe you did start to have some surgery. I came over you.
No.
You put the cane aside and you walked around.
Yeah.
And
you dance. You know what? I'm waiting to get to the doctor on Tuesday after the Super Bowl so he can give me the second X-ray because I should be nice and solid and put the cane away.
But you want to go slow.
Listen, man.
You're not
in a hurry to fly off this thing because when I went in for the for them to look at me with the hip, they were like, you're young at 45. I'm like, well, sign me up for 65 and 85
right,
too.
Right.
Just that hurt me like,
right,
man.
Right.
I had a point where I couldn't sleep at night. I was fighting for 2-3 hours of sleep at night, sleeping on the couch, sleeping in the day, sleeping whenever I could sleep. I never knew when the next good night of sleep was going to come.
But so things have been good for the past couple of weeks. You didn't even remember it was there.
I did it. I did the surgery the day after my birthday, January, December 20th. 4 days later, a friend of mine called me and said, I want to invite you to a Christmas Eve party. And I said, dude, I'm having surgery on the 20th. He said, no, just let me know how you feel, because we was at the Canes game at the end of the year. So I was like, all right. I got out of surgery, got home at 21st, 22nd, 23rd, just I was on the regiment. Every 2 hours, I had to get up and walk. That's what you do. Every 2 hours, you got to walk.
Sure.
And I don't think many people really go on this regiment like, I went on this thing like a Marine. You know what I'm saying? Like I was going, back to one buck, and I was going to training camp because I wanted to feel better, and I wanted to feel better. And after the third day, I ended up crazy. I'm telling you, I looked at myself and I said, man, this came out of me. So I put away the pain pills.
What took so long?
What?
You know, the surgery. What took so
stupidity.
Long?
Stupidity. And, you know, I'm going to go find
you. You were willing to live with
it. Listen, man, when you live in, you know my rule that one, though. Misery loves company. I'm going to drag you into misery and see how you like it. You ain't got to like it. You just got to do it. Right. I mean, and my kids are fed, and, you know, I was still moving around. And, you know, I got to a point where I bought me a little scooter, and whenever I felt too bad, I got on the scooter and went to the football games and different stuff. So, you know, I was just trying to find ways around it. I was fixing a handicap with a hammer.
Right.
And then I got to a point where I went and took that x-ray. I saw that my ball was gone. My lung stuff was cracking. It was going to break out just somewhere, and I was like, get you out of that. I'm like,
I remember talking to you in one of the suites at one of the games and said it was part of what I did.
You know, I wouldn't change it.
I wouldn't.
But, no, and I get that. But
I wouldn't change what I did, but I'll change the last 5 years.
How long it took?
Oh, my God, what stupid fool I am. If you have any kind of anything on anything like that with a knee, hip, get it done. You will feel so wonderful. The thing that got me was Neil Smith. Both of them told me, you're the biggest fool I ever seen. That's so long.
Yeah.
No. Oh, my God.
Well, and hopefully this story and you talking about
somebody
it.
Else. Right. Because I just ran into Big Ticket. He said he got a bad hit. I gave my doctor, Derek Alexander, the 11th pick in the 95 draft. Right. He called me. He'll tell me, if you can get back in your stance back, then I know you're ready. Man, I got in my stance on Sunday morning, sent him a video in my stance. I was like, what?
Definitely good stuff. What's it like being around Radio Row now that you're no longer a quote-unquote player? Now you're media. How about Warren Sapp is now media?
You know what? That shot was 08. When I first worked at the NFL Network, right. Showtime, all that. That's with the, and I kept looking at it like,
right, right.
So that's the thing with that, Red. I like media, but nah, it's love. You know, just on the other side, but just take it in the same way I took it when I was on that side. Ask the question, get legitimate. That's the way it goes.
Give me a status of, and I don't mind you getting a little sidetracked because Michael Irvin's walking by.
Yeah, Rick Odioso, my first
guy. Yeah, Rick Odioso.
You got to give up. And then the only service man to be a thing is still active. Yeah, he's still active. But, yeah.
You know I'm a vet.
Oh, come on, baby. Stand the post or shut the.
Yep.
You know.
No. Absolutely, for sure. So give me your update status of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. A lot of Buck fans are listening.
No, I got this. These areas in the top. Top Bulls got a defense. I called him and asked for the D-line job, so I'm stuff acting crazy. I asked for it, and say he had everybody situated and everything. Adding me up for the TAs and training camp.
That's awesome.
I'm coming.
I
got to get closer to the boys, because I got to smell what's going on over there. And I know VA got the plan. We got the Kango. What's going on, man? Come to Florida with a Kango? How cool is that?
How quick can, not a turnaround.
No.
Just the atmosphere.
Let's get to a point where let's put the people on the field and let's play the game. Because I know what he's going to do, James. That's the thing that I keep hearing in Tampa. Like, let's get a quarterback to challenge James. What the hell has that ever worked for any team with two quarterbacks that are challenging for the starting job? That never works. And the last time I checked, this kid can play. I mean, flat footwork. I make some boneheaded decisions at times, boneheaded throws.
That one
in St. Louis, I mean, Cincinnati, oh, God, Jimmy, what were you doing?
Blowing him off and stuff.
Son, the bullet went to the linebacker.
Oh, yeah.
Son, but that's what you got to do. You got to go through that look and a pain right there to get to the joy of this kid's attempt. I love it.
The attitude in the locker room. You know, and a lot of people have asked me because they know the relationship that you and I have. The atmosphere in the locker room is not what it was when 99 was in the locker room. What needs to be done in the locker room so that it is run properly, so that it's more than just work. It means everything.
I don't know. I think it's a new generation. It's just how they are.
Definitely agree with
it's
that.
It's just how they are. I mean, I watch them walk around with their underwear out and five guys to a group. I only talk to this guy. I only hang out with him. Like, what? He said, go out and call the DBs. Randy, DBs, we going out tonight. DBs in the D-line. The front and the back end were together. Okay, what we mean next? I mean, it wasn't even a question. I mean, it's... And I think it's the social media. Because they don't give a damn about anything except like you and follow.
I've said that.
If you ain't liking it, you ain't viewing it, you ain't following it, why am I talking to you? More people read my morning tweet than watch your news channel.
True.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
It's crazy. It's just, we're turning into a social media. Look at me right now. This is what it is. I'm the next best thing since sliced bread. Really? I mean, and the word great ain't great anymore. It ain't.
Right. Good.
It's okay.
Yeah, okay.
Did you see that commercial? Yeah. Okay, just
right.
With okay, just ain't good enough.
Right.
That's how we use great now.
Right.
Great. Can't lose great. Can't even finish it. Oh, that back is great. Are you kidding me? It's splatter. It shows up. It's not something you have to be consistently good at over a great period of time and then put it on the resume and then they see if they put you in with the greats.
Right.
But Pro Bowl, make it a Pro Bowl.
No.
Make it 4-5 All Pro team.
That's different. That's just different. Give me your opinion because I talk about this with the Hall of Fame. Uh-huh. My thing is, you should get in the Hall of Fame in 3 years. If you're not in 3 years, maybe four, I don't think you're a Hall of Famer. I think you should get in. I mean, your stats don't change.
Michael Irvin.
But he should have gone in earlier.
I'm saying he wouldn't be one.
But I'm saying
Marshall Faulk has no catches.
So you're okay with how long it takes?
Yeah. Right. You know, there's two of my classmates, Curly Cole and Dave Robinson. They were 57 years combined.
Right.
130, 127. Three of us went in first ballot, me, Larry Allen, and Jonathan Offen. Bill Parcells waited 2 years, Chris Carter waited 3. So you see that we go from 1 to 30.
Right.
Thank you.
Well, and that's the problem. It's like
and Dave Robinson was the first linebacker drafted in the first round in the 60s.
Why is it taking so long and it just happened with MLB? A unanimous voted into a Hall of Fame. Is that not crazy?
You got a pause button and
no
button.
No.
Go ahead.
No.
We lie.
No, that's right. We're lying.
But people like to hold grudges. They do.
Yeah. We both know that.
Come on.
No.
I hold a couple too. Yeah. Hey, and I sling it out every now and then whenever I get a chance.
No comment.
You have to sling it out there sometimes. You know what I'm saying? Because some people forget and they want you to forget what they said about us. You know? I remember walking in Tampa, they all called me cocaine and everything.
Sure.
I remember those days. Right. So when you walked up and you didn't say, excuse me, Mr. Settler, please get an autograph, it was give me an autograph. Can I get?
We talked about this.
Yes. You can. Do you get some home training and you know how to say please?
I don't know if I've ever told you what I've said, you know, about that whole situation. So, you know, people, as you know, have said things about you.
Of course.
People, and it bothers me when people use off-field, don't sign an autograph. That's their complaint all the time for you not being a great Tampa Bay Buccaneer.
Yeah, that's it.
So here's my linebacker. I want you to go to the mall tonight. I want you to go to a complete stranger and ask for $100. Are they going to
listen?
Right.
You should be happy I'm coming over to you. That's what a dude said to me in the airport. Walked over to me and thing. I'm like, no. I'm the only one asking. I'm like, oh, you're actually like the sixth one. It's okay. You think you're that actual special one.
Yeah,
it's okay.
It's okay.
I say it's a sign on my forehead that says F with him and it flashes like Krispy Kreme and I'll show the pot sometimes.
Right.
I mean, it's just bad. I mean, when I was in this grocery store with my little girl, I signed an autograph, and I'm sorry, I didn't say I wanted to have an autograph session up front. And then when I did have an autograph session in Tampa, they wouldn't come. So don't give me the hoopla about what you want autograph. You just want free.
A true story.
You want free.
I'm walking through Target with you. I don't know if you remember this. I did a radio show, and you parked outside in your screen and talking sports with Randy. And then we went into Target when you wanted to show me your pool. And we went to the house and looked at the pool. And we walked through Target, you had to get something, and you go, Randy, look at this. And we looked up on the security camera, and they were following you around just to watch you because it was you.
Listen, no? I know what came with it. Come with me, but I always tell people, positive, you outweighed me.
Sure.
And I know I never cussed at a kid. They didn't allow things to happen to me. They didn't know. It's too small of a man my size to curse me.
Sure.
I promise you I didn't curse you. But I definitely gave you something.
Before we run out of time, because ESPN's calling and people are calling that, talk about your radio show. Talk about what you're doing now.
You know what I do, Dash Radio, Route 99, is called Warm Wednesdays. You know, every Wednesday we come out, it's just me with football fun, food, fishing, all the things that I love, and current events, if I like the current events, and, you know, shut out some of the stuff. You know, I touch some of that, because you just have to touch it, and it's just me going riffing and doing my thing, because I don't think I know anybody that holds court better than me when I got something to talk about.
So having a good time.
You already know, Randy. That's why I love talking sports with Randy, but it's the Knockout Radio now. So, I
overheard towards the end of your show about a flight and sitting in the middle seat. I flew to Vegas to cover a UFC. No, it was going to the Consumer Electronics Show.
Oh, CES.
And they changed my flight, so they flew me on a flight to Atlanta, and I'm like, whatever, I got to get there. I sat in the middle of two people that made you look like a small human being.
And you didn't say a word.
What could I say?
I'm going to show you this video of this lady sitting between these two people. And she is making the biggest butthole of herself that I've ever seen. And the lady's recording it. And she knows she's being recorded. I don't know how I'm going to sit here for the next 4 hours.
Get up and get off.
You picked the middle seat. Oh, no. United made it.
Yeah.
United.
Well, as uncomfortable as I was, I'm thinking, granted, I'm glad I'm going to Atlanta. But I'm thinking to myself, these two people sitting to my right and left know they're large people. I know they don't feel great about it.
No.
I understand that.
No, but that's, why, but that's why you get the aisle seat, so I can lean a little bit. That's why I get the window seat, because I get a window seat. I'm a big guy, because I don't want you climbing over me with this bathroom run. Yeah. That drives me crazy.
Yeah.
God almighty, though. Where the baby bladders always get on my run?
Well, I always sit in the aisle just because I like to put my feet out. But you're right.
Maybe I get up against that wall.
I don't like that wall.
I'm going to close the window, because ain't nothing outside the window.
Right. Yeah, what are you going to look at? Back to your radio show. Where can people hear it?
Dash Radio. You go download Dash Radio app and you look up Route 99 and put your seatbelt on, because it's one hell of a ride, I guarantee you.
Your favorite interview on your radio show? Not, you know, people that have interviewed you.
Kitty Byrne, the lifestyle expert. Okay. You got it. If you ever met Kitty Burns, and you in Atlanta, we're going to go out. We're going to go see Kitty Byrne. We're going to find the Kitty Byrne party.
I guess I'm going.
Okay. If I'm excited about it, you already know.
That's definitely true.
He made me look like I'm a tenant.
Whose radio shows on Radio Row are you going to do?
Whenever you're in Atlanta, I'm going to teach you this. You got to do 92.9 The Game and 103 The Big Station. That's it in Atlanta, right there.
Favorite restaurant here in Atlanta? Where are you definitely? You ever heard of, I think it's Pappas Steakhouse out in Roswell?
And I want to go to Roswell, Georgia.
It's not that far. It's the best steak I've ever had. I'm telling you.
Stop.
I'm telling you.
Stop. Was it a bone-in?
Yeah.
Was it a tongue?
Yeah. That's what I get.
I didn't know you were a big boy.
Look at this physique.
Hey. I know we look like we drank a lot of beer, but I didn't know you was a steak man like that.
George,
right down that restaurant.
We're going tomorrow night if you want to go.
Ooh.
Tomorrow night.
Tomorrow's
Friday. Friday night.
Thursday night.
Oh, tomorrow's Thursday. We're going Friday. Telling you.
I'm looking up.
I'm telling you, this is this. Now, you may be busy.
No, it's not about busy.
I gotta
check the schedule.
This is a restaurant. I'll send my brother's Maserati down to get you.
I don't need no Maserati. I get a Uber.
You walk.
I get, now that
you can walk better.
Oh, no. I walk. I get my 6,000 stuff ready. I don't want to go backwards to pain. I feel great. I don't push it. Trust me. I still take me some weight.
I know I've already said I was going to let you go, and
I don't worry about you letting me go. I don't stand nobody else. I'm home.
Tell me about the fishing that you're doing. We're talking about UFC though going out.
We went down to Legion Rockstar tournament. I'm lucky enough to win the first one. This is the third. We went down to attack this thing. Top 20 angle finish, but I captain one of the guys. He wasn't a good. You gotta find the right captain to get over the top of fish. My man Finkelstein caught a 60.8-pound tuna and came in second place. So, you know, the guys I knew had a good time. Two comes from now had a good time. They caught a 400-pound black ball. But anyway,
how much time do you go out on the boat? When you go out all day?
Really? Yeah. 100% blue and orange.
Well, what is it about fishing that you enjoy?
It's the unknown. And that line goes off.
I've seen some of your videos.
Yeah, that line goes off. You don't know what it is. I mean, sometimes you're down reeling, you know, trying to make sure it's threaded right and nice and balanced across. But you build up a ball in the pocket. Which take attention on fishing. So if he comes, when he comes up, yeah, you have sail, marlin, or whatever. Oh, trust me. It's nothing like it. You don't know. It's like hunting the quarterback. Hunting the quarterback all day long. All day. I mean, I love it.
We'll set that definitely up with Tito. I'm trying to stay away from football, but I need to ask you about the non-call, you know, in New Orleans. And give me your take on not only the call, but how one call affects a game, legacy.
Stop. Don't you get caught up in this. Let me drag you. The last time we was in Atlanta, the two teams that played this
year. I don't remember.
There was a certain NFC Championship game that you were at, and it was 11-6.
Okay, so that would be the Rams. Because I was in there.
The Titans,
in
the Titans, right? That was our game. Okay. Do you remember that NFC Championship game?
Yeah.
Do you remember the letter they sent us on Monday?
Yeah.
The Birdie Manual?
Yeah, the Birdie Manual.
That's the one play that gives us the game that we might be able to win that game.
That's true.
Listen, take your letter and go on. Stop crying. Well, and Ben Watson. Listen, if you ain't with Sherlock Holmes and that Watson, you ain't seen shit.
But what I've kind of said, though, is doesn't a mistake in the first period, the first quarter, mean the same as a mistake in the fourth quarter? Right?
But
it can still change a game.
Yeah, that's why I say, because I heard about some new challenging, the ref thing. Yeah. I'm like, do you challenge it in the first, second, third, or fourth? Because the play in the second quarter might not have you in a position in the fourth to even check because.
Well, I guess in Canada, you can.
Oh, stop.
Okay, let's move on. I do what I'm told.
Hey.
I'm just saying.
It's freezing cold, the field is wide, and they start toward the line of scrimmage. And they have that far in the line for the D-line to rush the pass. Yeah.
So were you against instant replay at all?
No. For mine, instant replay. But we got to make the mistakes that we make as well, because it happens.
That's part of the game.
But we hadn't seen a guy blow up like that in a long time. Now, fireflies coming. It's like, if you got close to hitting a guy like that, everybody would do it.
Right.
No flag win.
All three guys.
I mean, buddy, upside down, underneath the door. Somebody, need me I put up?
No.
No, I got to show you. This is one of the greatest ones I put up for this hill, boy. I say Sapp Senior.
Who do you like on Sunday?
I like the Rams. I like the Rams early, but if I'm betting, I'm betting the over.
Really?
Yeah. So, as a defender, you can't stop this. Two weeks, you can't hit nobody in the chin. You can't defend them in the field. There's nothing you can do. You can't stop. There's nothing you can do to stop. It is coming, and it's coming at a fever pitch. 100.
Describe the photo for the audience. It's our Tampa own.
It's our Tampa's own Terry Bollea. The Hulk Hogan, baby. You had your vitamin putting that 15 boot right under his chin. Right on the sideline from Sapp Senior, baby. See, that's what happens when you go from Mexico. You could get hit by the hook.
That is pretty funny. That is awesome. Are you still into wrestling?
Yes. I love it because Brooks made it. And then my roommate, my backup in college became the greatest, the most electrifying man in wrestling.
Do you remember they were in Tampa at USF? Ken Shamrock was supposed to come on the show, who will be on the show on Friday. And he got lost or whatever. He's a friend of mine. So they sent me up to go meet Dwayne. And I came into the locker room and I told you that. I said, yeah, I was just with Dwayne. I said, yeah, did you tell him?
You didn't say you were with Dwayne. You said,
with the locker room.
And
you
said, I say who?
No, you said, yeah, did you remind him that he was my backup at Miami? That's what you told me.
I love when y'all tell me about The Rock because I didn't know The Rock.
Right.
I don't know The Rock.
What was he like in college?
The best. One of the best teammates, good-hearted dude. If you wanted your sister to date somebody, that's who you wanted to date.
Nice story, you know, the whole story. I'm saying it was a rough road to where he is today. It's a nice story of what he
built. Your dad was flying drop guy, flying drop kid, Rocky Johnson. And the Snooker brothers were your uncle. What a hard time, then?
Didn't he live on the floor in Canada when he was playing Canadian football life?
That's as a grown man that you're going after your career, right?
Right. That's not still a good story that he wanted it and he went through all that? No? Where he could have just gone into wrestling? That's a clap in case people can't.
Okay. Hey, I'm glad. You know what? Because I buy by the rule. I'm going to say, if you ain't got that nice shit, I'm going to say good at
all. Okay, good enough. A half an hour. Warren, thank you very much.
You know how many people I've had, you know, living on the floor, and they bought a house before they got a chance, and in college? Come on, man. What did Rocky Johnson do? Leave his kid abandoned to the brothers? That's good money, right? Come on, man. We used to leave it on the floor.
All right. I stand corrected. That's a mic drop. Warren took the headphones off. He dropped the mic. He is out of here. I want to thank the greatest Buccaneer of all time, Warren Sapp, for stopping by. We've got some things in the plans as well, and stay tuned right here to Knockout Radio for more details. All right, we're going to go hit our first break. Coming to you live from Radio Row here at the Super Bowl. Good stuff still to come.
Troubled mind. I left my body lying somewhere in the sands of time. But I watched the world float to the dark side of the moon. I feel there's nothing I can do.
This is the TAM Talk Radio Network.
This is Mike Evans with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and you're listening to Knockout Radio.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? StaffZone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
Hi, I'm Mark Pollack, president of the Giving Back Fund, asking if you'd like to be one of 400 lucky guests invited to the number one party of Super Bowl week. Big Game Big Give is celebrating its 10th year, and this is your chance to attend the most exclusive and meaningful event at Super Bowl, with all proceeds going to charity. Held at a private estate and hosted by Atlanta royalty Ludacris, you'll be treated to an intimate concert by the Black Eyed Peas. Bid on once-in-a-lifetime auction items, including an Aston Martin sports car. Come join us on Saturday night, February 2nd at 6 p.m. A limited number of tickets are available at givingback.org, givingback.org.
Monster Jam. There's only one event with high-octane energy, heart-pounding action, and non-stop excitement. See Grave Digger, Max D, and more. Brought to you by BKT Tires, your local Ford dealers, Dairy Queen, and 1-800-ASK-GARY. Tickets start at $15. Restrictions and charges may apply. Coming to Raymond James Stadium, January 12th and February 2nd. Visit MonsterJam.com.
You're hungry. Where do you go to eat?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
You want to have a drink? Where do you go?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Having a get-together with the guys from the softball team? Where do you do it?
That's right, Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Located at 1320 Central Avenue, St. Petersburg, right across from Tropicana Field, Berg's is the best place to take the whole family for food and fun. Going to a Rays game? Have dinner before the game at Berg's, and after the Rays win, come and celebrate with all your friends at Berg's, right across from the Trop. So come down and see Berg and the whole gang at Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
8-Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you are bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8-Man Strong.
Hey, this is Chef Robert Irvine, highest rated show on the Food Network. Woo! And you're listening to Knockout Radio.
All right, we are back coming to you live from Radio Row here at the Super Bowl. Matt, are you there?
I'm here.
I never got the text until just now. So send me whatever your question is, and I'll get it to Warren.
I was going to say, you know, how he felt about the new leagues where, you know, they protect the quarterback so much. Would he be the same player today that he was back then?
I'll ask him, but I'm going to say yes. But without further ado, we go to the first ballot Hall of Famer, Warren Sapp, to the newest champ on the phone with us right now, Ryan Bader. How does that sound?
Sounds pretty damn good. What's going on, guys?
What was the first thing, your first emotion? I mean, I watched it, and I think I told you we were backstage with Russell Peters watching it. You know, your first reaction, you know, they stopped the fight. You just beat Fedor. Was it beating Fedor? Was it the champ legacy? What was the first thought that came into mind?
Yeah, it's probably Fedor. I think it was everything. It was, you know, the ability coming to two-division champion, you know, getting that new heavyweight title, but let alone doing it against Fedor, you know, one of the greatest heavyweights of all time in a Grand Prix style tournament. You know, and so it was kind of the accumulation of everything, the accumulation of ending that tourney the way I did. It really couldn't have gone any better.
Right, and I know they asked you after the fight, you know, and it's way too early on what's next. And are they going to let you defend both? Will you stay the champ?
It sounded like Scott Coker said if I want to, yes. You know, so we got to go back and get with them, you know, of what they're thinking, you know, if it aligns with what we're thinking, all that kind of stuff. So that's the next step. You know, it's just I just got back yesterday, just kind of enjoying it, just hanging out. But then I'm sure we'll talk soon and then kind of see where we're going to go.
How did the Bader household celebrate? What did you do? Have you had time to celebrate?
So after we were in L.A. there, after the fight, you know, I had my kids, you know, with the grandparents and all that down in Newport Beach. And so we all went out there with family and friends and hung out on the beach for a couple days, had some fun. And, yeah, just, you know, had some fun with the kids and family. That's about it. You know, got back yesterday to Arizona and just back to reality. Took the kids to school, that kind of stuff.
Who do you like Sunday? I'm broadcasting here in Atlanta, Super Bowl Radio Row. Who do you like, St. Louis or New England?
Man, I'm going to the Rams. I just want to see some new blood in there, really. You know, it was pretty amazing games, you know, last week. And then you can't take anything away from the Patriots, Tom Brady. Man, they're amazing every time they do it. And but some new blood definitely would be good.
Hopefully a good game. That's what we're rooting for. Before I let you go, your thoughts on the newest 8-man strong champ Ryan Bader t-shirt?
That's awesome. You know, I don't usually wear shirts with my name on it and all that, but, you know, all a bunch of family stuff like to commemorate, you know, a good time. I had a lot of people out there. You know, it was an honor for me to be able to do something like this and bring everybody together. So it was an amazing experience. And you can grab it on 8-man. That's 8manstrong.com, among a bunch of other cool stuff.
Definitely good stuff, as always, Ryan. Thank you for your time. Short notice. I know I just called you the other day, and congratulations. I couldn't be happier for you.
Yeah, appreciate it, guys. Have fun out there.
Talk to you soon. That is your champ, Ryan Bader, quick and easy Saturday night with Bellator. And stopping by right now, a friend of the show, who's been on the show quite a few times, Kevin. Just enjoying looking at Media Row, the whole nine yards, Super Bowl champ, Kevin Carter. What's up?
What's up, man? You know what? I'm just marveling at all the people that I'm seeing here. Like, there's Warren Moon is behind me. I got Warren Sapp over my shoulder. I mean, just guys everywhere. It's kind of cool.
So you've been on Radio Row before, right?
I have.
Yeah, it's my favorite thing of the year. I'm sorry. It's my second favorite thing of the year.
Exactly. That's right.
Corrected myself pretty quick. Matter of fact, I went over to the Nashville. You know, they have a booth here.
Really?
For the draft.
Okay.
Which is going to be in Nashville.
Oh, that's right.
And
that's
I was
right.
Over talking to them, and I talked about you, and they go, oh, you mean the event at the Palm. So they definitely knew all about it. So cool. I saw you on TV. A lot of gigs going on, a lot of stuff. You're staying busy. Talk about that.
Staying busy. Did CBS Sports this past year. Did studio for college football for CBS Sports. I had a great time. Was on with Coach Houston Nutt and host Brent Stover, Danny Cannell graced our presence every now and then. So we had a really good time. You know, did some great coverage on college football, and you know, studio is kind of my specialty. But you know, I got a chance to be pulled into the NFL side. CBS has been really good to me. Really enjoying the opportunity and the, you know, that I'm getting a chance to do so much.
We'll get back to that in a second. I dropped the ball. I should have started with congratulations on your son and everything that's going on with him.
Thanks. Yeah, he just committed to Dartmouth to play football, and I couldn't be happier. You know, as a football player, I'm proud because he came out for a senior year to play, you know, football after being a basketball player for years and took to it like a duck to water. So, you know, made dad proud and everything. But as a parent, I'm just so proud of him as a young man because, you know, he has, you know, unweighted 4.0 and just, you know, kick butt on his SAT and everything, and just to be able to get into a school like that. And I'm really excited at his future.
And we talked about on the Monday Night Player Show about which direction. I mean, mm-hmm. Does he really know yet whether he wants to go the cracking heads or the fixing heads?
You know what? He didn't have to decide that just yet. And especially, you know, Dartmouth, he's going to be at a place that's going to nurture him in both areas. Buddy Tevens does a great job. And if he's a viable candidate for the NFL, then he'll have his shot. But likewise, you know, when he graduates from Dartmouth with that piece of paper going forward in life, it'll enable him to, you know, accomplish his dreams of going on to medical school.
What do you think about the game on Sunday? Give me your insight.
You know what? I look at this matchup and something has to give. When you look at the way the Patriots have controlled the line of scrimmage for, you know, since week 12 through the AFC Championship game, there's a stark difference between the first 12 weeks and that run. You know, they were running the ball for about 108 yards a game the first 12 weeks. From week 12 to the AFC Championship game, they were averaging about 160. You know, just really concentrating on controlling the line of scrimmage, limiting the number of possessions, limiting the time of possessions for their opponents, and just really impressive. And Brady, of course, has been surgical and, you know, has been relatively mistake-free except for this last game against Kansas City where he had two costly interceptions, which was the only reason that Kansas City was actually in the game and had a chance to win because, you know, Patrick Mahomes and that offense just got thwarted by everything they did, like I said, controlling the clock. But when you look at the Rams, conversely, you know, they've gone the opposite way. You know, during the season, you know, they were susceptible to giving up some big rushing totals during the season. I mean, Chicago got all over them during the year, and people thought, you know, this team can't stop the run. Well, in the playoffs, they gave up 50 yards to the Cowboys, 48 to the Saints. They've really put a vice grip down, and they've cracked down, and they've gotten better with their technique. So, you know, something's going to give, and whoever controls the line of scrimmage, to me, that is the most important matchup, is the New England Patriots offensive line versus the Rams defensive line.
All right, you mentioned New Orleans Saints, so we'll go that direction. Mm-hmm. Give me your take. I just talked to Warren about it, and he said it's, you know, he gave me his opinion.
Right.
What's your opinion on the play that everybody's talking about? Where should people be thinking? What should they be thinking?
Well, first of all, let me say that, just for the record, it should have been called. That's, you know, I think any football player, any player you ask anybody, all they ever want is a fairly officiated game for both sides. I don't think anybody wants to be the victim or wants to be on the other side of something that you don't deserve. Now, if you go back and look at the game, there are a number of missed calls that would have had a profound effect. I mean, we're not talking about, you know, things that are just trivial and maybe, no, there was a face mask on Goff early in the game down towards the goal line. There were things that happened that could have changed the course of the game. That one just happened to be at a crunch time moment. And it you know, it's really inexcusable from an officiating standpoint. But, you know, you have to roll with it. I mean, they're not going to take down the banners, you know, of the Rams and put up the Saints. There is no retribution, unfortunately. I just think they have to do a better job and make sure those things get called and it happens, you know, in the future.
Is it blown out of proportion because it was a minute and a half left in the game? You know, if that would have happened, you know, the first quarter, would they be talking about it?
No, they wouldn't. That's the reason. It was a crunch time situation, which is why, you know, the emphasis on the missed call is such a big deal. I mean, that's, make no mistake. I mean, you know, we're not talking about, oh, they missed a face mask on Jared Goff and, you know, that would have given them a touchdown early and, you know, could have changed the complexity of the game or how it was called or whatever. You know, all these different calls that were missed early, and there's four different calls. There's four really profound calls that were missed in the game other than that one, but that one's going to stick out in everyone's mind because it was the last one, and it was at a crunch time moment.
Okay, one of the teams you played for and the team that you won the Super Bowl with, is that team here? Or because the team moved? I mean, I'm curious where you look at that.
No, I mean, there's allegiance no matter what. I mean, and you can tell, you know, by their attention to, I think, history, you know, by the jerseys they, by the uniforms that they choose to wear. I mean, you know, they were rocking the old school, you know, blue and white helmets all through the playoffs, and you know, and I love it. And I, you know, I was wondering if, you know, people were wondering if the Rams were going to be in the newer Rams logo and the new Rams uniform. The logo was new, but the uniforms, the colors are the old and throwback. And it's so nice. It's such endearing thing to me to have won a Super Bowl here in that uniform and to see that uniform on display in Super Bowl 53.
Are you walking taller and chest out a little bit more because the Rams are here? Because
yeah.
You walk tall and with your chest out anyway.
Yeah, but I'm walking a little taller. I got a little pride about, you know, the Rams being here. Really proud of their accomplishments. Really proud of the esprit de corps that they've achieved. I mean, Sean McVay has done just a marvelous job just galvanizing this entire staff. And he's surrounded himself with great players, you know, on different levels, at different stages of their career, which is, I think, one of the most pinnacle important things when you're, you know, assembling this eclectic group of people that are going to try to win a championship. But the coaches on the staff, I mean, the Wade Phillips of the world, the experience that he has helping him manage those personalities in that locker room, you know, that's what I have pride in. And, you know, we can all share in that glory. I mean, talking to Trent, to London, we had Torrey Big Game Holt on last night on NFL Live. You know, we're having a great time here. I mean, I'm texting with DeMarco Farr. He's coming in town tomorrow. He's doing radio. I mean, you know, we're almost reliving this moment being here, and we're all sharing in it.
I think I told you a Farr situation I was in Oakland. Did I tell you that?
No.
We were walking. It was the big media event, and I was going down to see Frank Middleton, who left Tampa and went to the Raiders, and I made some kind of comment, and then somehow the St. Louis game came up, and he was like, "Yeah, I'm gonna go fight," and I forget which player it was because of the incident, you know, that happened in '99. Do you find that when you're talking about the Rams that you have to overcompensate because you're afraid people may think, "Well, you're a Ram, you're talking good about the," you know what I'm saying, kind of in the back of your mind, kind of thing?
You know what? I just try to make sure I stay objective. That's all. I don't think you can ever go wrong. I don't hide or try to hide the fact that I'm a Ram fan, and I'm picking them in the game, and I'm personally rooting for them. But I can be objective when I examine the matchups, and I give credit where credit is due. I mean, you can't knock. No one can knock the combination of Brady and Belichick in modern football. I mean, in sports history, they're going to go down as one of the greatest dynasties of all time with the Celtics and the 49ers and the Lakers of the world. I mean, organizations than the Yankees that have won so many championships and done so much for the game, they are forever enshrined in that importance.
How important is it in sports to have teams, I hate to use word that hated, but that has been so dominant that there are haters? How important is that? I think it is, you know, in what we do, you know, in the talking radio business.
You know what? I think you can have your haters, and I said it last night on the air. You know, the question was posed: is the dynasty, the Patriots, you know, the best in sports right now? Like, is it the best modern? Can you compare it to all those other ones that I mentioned? And I said, with a big dose of haterade, yes. Yes, right. And I say, and I don't, you know, personally, I'm thinking, man, you know, someone, please beat them, you know, knock them off. But, you know, you have to give credit there. It's no matter how much you may not like it, you know, there was an 8 or 9 year gap where they weren't, you know, the team, and to come back in this fashion and go to 3 straight, you know, you can hate them. And Belichick, but the results remain the same.
Kevin Carter, as always, thank you very much.
Thank you.
I know you got to get over to those big three letters right behind me.
Yeah.
Anything else you're planning on doing? Final thing for you while you're here.
Well, I've got an interview with. I'm going to do some stuff. I'm going to do our Tops show, which is going to be a lot of fun. But I've got an interview on Friday with Matt Ryan out of Centennial Park, so that should be fun. It'll be cool to get another quarterback's perspective, especially a quarterback that, you know, was in this game, and you know it's being played in his stadium, so he's going to have a unique perspective, you know, from a quarterback perspective, just on, you know, what's going to happen.
Awesome. Thank you very much. Thank you for your time, and enjoy the rest of the couple of days here in Atlanta.
Thank you.
And I'll see you in Nashville in, what, 2 months?
April 16th at the Palm, waiting for wishes.
Right out of the corner. Tickets still available? Can people still purchase? I know it sells out quickly.
It's sold out.
Is it really?
It's sold.
Is that a good thing and a bad thing?
We're withholding a few so people can still, you log on to kevin-carter.com or waitingforwishes.com, where you go to our Facebook page, the Kevin Carter Foundation, and we'll be giving away some tickets and doing some things, and there's still some sponsorship opportunities available, but for the most part, we are sold out. It's just pandemonium.
You know that I can keep you here and talk, but I know you got to leave, but talk about that for a second. What it feels like for an event that sells out before tickets sometimes even go on sale.
I feel honored and humbled to have been a part of creating something so wonderful that does so much for so many people that really, really need it. I mean, when you can say that as a foundation, the Kevin Carter Foundation has given over $2.5 million to Make-A-Wish of Middle Tennessee over the last 17 years, you know, it humbles me. It almost brings me to tears when I think about how I've been used as a vessel to bring others together, and it's such a wonderful event. And you know, I mean, you come 1 year and you're hooked. You're hooked on just the giving. You're hooked on the process of just bringing that 6 degrees of separation and divine synergy that does something wonderful for a child who's battling a life-threatening illness that he doesn't deserve, he or she doesn't deserve. I mean, it's a wonderful thing, and it truly speaks to, you know, I think who I try to say that I am as a man, but, you know, it's something I pass on to my child, and it's something that will stand all time as my legacy.
Yeah, it's definitely awesome.
So Waiting for Wishes, April 16th. It's our 18th annual now. It's crazy.
And if you want more information or you want to get involved for next year, you can email me at knockoutradio.com. I can always get the info to you, but I'm already, you know that. I start calling you the day after the event.
Yep.
Starting to work on the next year. That's how much I enjoy this.
Definitely.
And I have a couple people I'm working on, so we need to get together. I need to fill
awesome.
You in on a list.
Awesome. Bless
Plus, I still need that list that you want me to work on as well.
Yes, yes.
So I need to get busy on that.
Bless that much.
Again, thank you very much. I get to touch the ring twice now. That's pretty cool.
I'll see you back in Tampa.
All right, take care. That is Kevin Carter, Super Bowl champ, Rams. Yeah, you can see him on CBS doing a lot of good stuff here, and a well-dresser as well. So, all right, Matthew.
Yes, I'm here.
All right, 50 minutes in. Go ahead, say something.
Yeah, no, I don't really need to. Does this count as one of my vacation days, or I haven't had to do any work today? It's great.
Well, you do get paid by the word, so you may want to, you know, say a couple things.
Well, I'll save them. I'll save my word, like Scrabble. I want to put a good one out there.
All right, coming at the top of the hour, Israel Del Toro. I saw him walking at the Gasparilla Parade the other day.
No way.
He was walking with Jon Stewart, the comedian. There is a big, I think this is the guy who's kind of even looking for me. I don't even know the name of it, which kind of embarrasses me. It's a military, kind of like a military Olympics. I'm going to wave this guy down if he can turn one more second. I'm kind of waving. At three, right? Yeah, that's fine. He's been texting me, but I'm live on the air. It's kind of like the thing that we did at the PGA Golf Show. You know, you're in the middle of the show, but you can't really do anything.
Sure.
You know, so
you're live.
Right. So this is an event that we're going to get involved with. Well, and we'll talk about it with Israel Del Toro here at the top of the hour. A really cool veteran military. Go ahead and Google Israel Del Toro and then get back to me. I don't want to talk about it until he gets here. I don't want to give anything away. But it's going to be outstanding. All right, give me your thoughts. We have about 7 minutes, maybe 6 minutes before the top of the hour. Sanctions have been handed out to Conor McGregor and Khabib and teammates. A, did you pull it up and did you look at it? And if you did, give me your thoughts.
I did. Khabib received a 9-month suspension and a $500,000 fine. Conor got a 6-month suspension, but it's dated back to, I think, October 6th and a $50,000 fine.
Khabib's goes back to the incident as well.
Well, you know, so they gave him different lengths of sentence, you know, 9 months and 6 months. But I saw one report that said that the athletic commission in Nevada would give Khabib the ability to reduce his to 6 months if he does a PSA on anti-bullying. I don't know if that's a real thing or not, but that's what.
No, it is that they were going to, good behavior. And they've given a longer sentence to the two knuckleheads who jumped into the cage. Khabib has since said he will never again fight in Nevada. So we'll see how that plays out. But okay, here's where I stand. I think a year suspension for somebody who jumps the cage to go in. I'm still going to decide what I want to will happen to Khabib for leaving the cage and trying to start something. But for somebody to jump into the cage, I'm not sure a year is long enough, to be honest.
Man, I don't know. I mean, does anybody really care, though? I mean, it's like ancient history at this point, isn't it? I mean,
I'll tell you why I care.
Okay.
Mixed martial arts is my favorite sport. I know I'm broadcasting live from the Super Bowl Radio Row, and this may be the greatest event, sporting event to come to, but mixed martial arts, the UFC, all that kind of stuff. This is what separates mixed martial arts from boxing, from all the stuff that's happened boxing-wise. So when things like this happen where you jump a cage, you know, in the middle of a fight or after a fight, in the middle of the card or whatever, I mean, it can affect a lot of things. You know, look, it's still the black mark on the sport. It's still, quote-unquote, underground. It's still, you know, looked at cockfighting and that kind of stuff. So when you have not even a fan jump a cage and do something stupid, you know, it's like a fan running on the field in the middle of a football game. This is another fighter who should know better than to do that.
Yeah, I know, but the whole sport's built on trash talking. I mean, the whole thing is bad blood and rivalries.
It's not what mixed martial arts is supposed to be about. It's supposed to be about sportsmanship. It's supposed to be about, you know, who's the better athlete. You know, it's a challenge. That's what it was built around. When this first started and the Gracie family kind of kicked this all off and whatever, it wasn't about who can talk the most crap and get the most money in a fight. It's what it's developed into.
Right. That's what they created their own monster here. I mean, this is the UFC's own doing. I mean, allowing the press conferences to go off the rail, like throwing water bottles and energy drink cans across crowded rooms at people. I mean, you know, it became a spectacle. It became a sideshow. And then this is the result of it. I mean, so how do you, I mean, I don't know. I think it's just too late. I think it's like too little of a difference and nobody cares.
But Matt, is it the promotion's responsibility or is it the commission's responsibility? You know, the promotion wants all this stuff. I get that because it's selling tickets. But if the Nevada State Athletic Commission would have done more the first time this was done, you know, more issue the first time the water bottle was thrown, you know, those types of things. And then worry about if the UFC is going to get upset and basically say, who cares? We're the Nevada State Athletic Commission.
I think everybody makes money, so one hand greases the other. I mean, I think the commission, you know, everybody's to blame in this scenario. It's not just the guys that are, you know, that everybody knows. It's not just the guys that got in the altercation. You know, I think there's a lot of people involved, and this is what it's become. And I don't know how you steer the ship. I mean, how do you go back to a press conference where two guys walk out, shake hands, weigh in, and then go their separate way? I mean, how do you make it a gentleman's sport after what has become?
You know, you just continue.
I think ESPN will elevate it a little bit. I think they'll bring some sophistication and class to the sport. I don't think they're going to tolerate the nonsense that has been going on. So I think, you know, I think.
Wait a second. You just said about selling tickets. You don't think if something like that happens at the next counter event, it's not going to be on ESPN? Of course it is. They're not going to not use it. That's how you stop it. You don't use it. The UFC doesn't, which they should. They're the promotion. But I'm saying them using the Conor McGregor throwing the dolly kind of stuff. ESPN, now that they're a partner, shouldn't use it. But they're going to because it's going to promote events that's on their network.
So they shouldn't hand out fines. I mean, if they're gonna make it a Royal Rumble, then just let it roll. Make it scripted like wrestling, and just let whatever happens happens.
All right. So let's go hit the top of the hour break. When we come back, Israel Del Toro is here. Like I said, he was out at Gasparilla the other day. We're going to talk to him about the upcoming event. I don't even know what month it is. I know it's coming soon, and we're going to be out there for it. So let's hit the top of the hour break. I know it's about a minute early, but let's get prepared for that. And when we come back, some really good stuff. Coming to you live from Radio Row here at the Super Bowl. The L.A. Rams. I was just with a St. Louis Ram. The L.A. Rams, the New England Pats. We may talk a little football when we return as well. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by Ape Man Strong and Staff Song.
Knocking me out with those American thighs, taking more than a share. Hit me fine.
is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey guys, I'm Chase Elliott, and you're listening to Knockout Radio.
8-Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you are bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8-Man Strong.
Hi, I'm Mark Pollack, president of the Giving Back Fund, asking if you'd like to be one of 400 lucky guests invited to the number one party of Super Bowl week. Big Game Big Give is celebrating its 10th year, and this is your chance to attend the most exclusive and meaningful event at Super Bowl, with all proceeds going to charity. Held at a private estate and hosted by Atlanta royalty Ludacris, you'll be treated to an intimate concert by the Black Eyed Peas. Bid on once-in-a-lifetime auction items, including an Aston Martin sports car. Come join us on Saturday night, February 2nd at 6 p.m. A limited number of tickets are available at givingback.org. givingback.org.
The PressBox Sports Emporium is Tampa's favorite place to watch the big game. Known for their chicken wings and the best burgers in town, the PressBox also features a full menu, daily happy hours and specials, and of course a special menu for the kids. Check out the new 12 draft system, or the boxing, or WWE pay-per-view parties. Go to PressBoxSports.com for more information and money-saving coupons. Proudly serving South Tampa for over 20 years. The PressBox Sports Emporium at 222 South Dale Mabry in Tampa.
Monster Jam. There's only one event with high-octane energy, heart-pounding action, and non-stop excitement. See Grave Digger, Max D, and more. Brought to you by BKT Tires, your local Ford dealers, Dairy Queen, and 1-800-ASK-GARY. Tickets start at $15. Restrictions and charges may apply. Coming to Raymond James Stadium, January 12th and February 2nd. Visit MonsterJam.com.